Chapter 11. My mouth in that part with the thunder of his protestations, as above, but still I pretended to doubt. One morning he pulls off his diamond ring, and writes upon the glass of the sash in my chamber this line you I love, and you alone. Apostrophe, I read it, and asked him to lend me his ring, with which I wrote under it, thus, and so in love says everyone. Apostrophe, he takes his ring again, and writes another line thus, virtue alone is an estate. Apostrophe, I borrowed it again, and I wrote under it, but money's virtue, gold is fate. Apostrophe, he colored as red as fire to see me turn so quick upon him, and in a kind of a rage, told me he would conquer me, and writes again thus, I scorn your gold, and yet I love. Apostrophe, I ventured all upon the last cast of poetry, as you will see, for I wrote boldly under his last, I'm poor. Let's see how kind he will prove. Apostrophe, this was a sad truth to me. Whether he believed me or no, I could not tell. I supposed then, that he did not. However, he flew to me, took me in his arms, and, kissing me very eagerly, and with the greatest passion imaginable, he held me fast till he called for a pen and ink, and then told me he could not wait the tedious writing on the glass, but, pulling out a piece of paper, he began and wrote again, be mine, with all your poverty. Apostrophe, I took his pen, and followed him immediately, thus, yet secretly you hope I lie. Apostrophe, he told me that was unkind, because it was not just, and that I put him upon contradicting me, which did not consist with good manners, any more than with his affection. And therefore, since I had insensibly drawn him into this poetical scribble, he begged I would not oblige him to break it off. So he writes again, let love alone be our debate. Apostrophe, I wrote again, she loves enough that does not hate. Apostrophe, this he took for a favor, and so laid down the cudgels, that is to say, the pen. I say, he took it for a favor, and a mighty one it was, if he had known all. However, he took it as I meant it, that is, to let him think I was inclined to go on with him, as indeed I had all the reason in the world to do, for he was the best-humored merry sort of a fellow that I ever met with, and I often reflected on myself, how doubly criminal it was to deceive such a man. But that necessity, which pressed me to a settlement suitable to my condition, was my authority for it. And certainly his affection to me, and the goodness of his temper, however they might argue against using him ill, yet they strongly argued to me, that he would better take the disappointment than some fiery-tempered wretch, who might have nothing to recommend him, but those passions which would serve, only to make a woman miserable all her days. Besides, though I jested with him as he supposed it, so often about my poverty, yet, when he found it to be true, he had foreclosed all manner of objection, seeing, whether he was in jest or in earnest, he had declared he took me without any regard to my portion, and, whether I was in jest or in earnest, I had declared myself to be very poor, so that, in a word, I had him fast both ways. And though he might say afterwards he was cheated, yet he could never say that I had cheated him. He pursued me close after this, and as I saw there was no need to fear losing him, I played the indifferent part with him longer than prudence might otherwise have dictated to me. But I considered how much this caution and indifference would give me the advantage over him, when I should come to be under the necessity of owning my own circumstances to him. And I managed it the more warily, because I found he inferred from thence, as indeed he ought to do, that I either had the more money or the more judgment, and would not venture at all. I took the freedom one day, after we had talked pretty close to the subject, to tell him, that it was true I had received the compliment of a lover from him, namely, that he would take me without inquiring into my fortune, and I would make him a suitable return in this, viz. That I would make as little inquiry into his as consisted with reason, but I hoped he would allow me to ask a few questions, which he would answer, or not as he thought fit, and that I would not be offended, if he did not answer me at all, One of these questions related to our manner of living, and the place where, because I had heard he had a great plantation in Virginia, and that he had talked of going to live there, and I told him I did not care to be transported. He began from this discourse to let me voluntarily into all his affairs, and to tell me in a frank, open way all his circumstances, by which I found he was very well, to pass in the world, but that great part of his estate consisted of 3 plantations, which he had in Virginia, which brought him in a very good income, generally speaking, to the tune of number 300 a year, but that if he was to live upon them, would bring him in 4 times as much. Very well, apostrophe thought I, you shall carry me thither, as soon as you please, though I won't tell you so beforehand. Apostrophe, I jested with him extremely about the figure he would make in Virginia, but I found he would do anything I desired, though he did not seem glad to have me undervalue his plantations, so I turned my tail. I told him I had good reason not to go there to live, because if his plantations were worth so much there, I had not a fortune suitable to a gentleman of number 1200 a year, as he said his estate would be. He replied generously, he did not ask what my fortune was. He had told me from the beginning he would not, and he would be as good as his word. But whatever it was, he assured me he would never desire me to go to Virginia with him, or go thither himself without me, unless I was perfectly willing, and made it my choice. All this, you may be sure, was as I wished, and indeed nothing could have happened more perfectly agreeable. I carried it on as far as this with a sort of indifferency, that he often wondered at, more than at first, but which was the only support of his courtship, and I mention it the rather, to intimate again to the ladies, that nothing but want of courage for such an indifferency makes our sex so cheap, and prepares them to be ill-used as they are. Would they venture the loss of a pretending fop now and then, who carries it high upon the point of his own merit, they would certainly be less slighted, and courted more. Had I discovered really and truly, what my great fortune was, and that in all I had not full number 500, when he expected number 1500, yet I had hooked him so fast, and played him so long, that I was satisfied he would have had me in my worst circumstances. And indeed it was less a surprise to him, when he learned the truth than it would have been, because having not the least blame to lay on me, who had carried it with an air of indifference to the last, he would not say one word, except that indeed he thought it had been more, but that if it had been less he did not repent his bargain, only that he should not be able to maintain me so well as he intended. In short, we were married, and very happily married on my side, I assure you, as to the man, for he was the best-humored man that every woman had, but his circumstances were not so good as I imagined, as, on the other hand, he had not bettered himself by marrying, so much as he expected. When we were married, I was shrewdly put to it to bring him that little stock I had, and to let him see it was no more. But there was a necessity for it, so I took my opportunity one day when we were alone, to enter into a short dialogue with him about it. My dear, apostrophe said I, we have been married a fortnight. Is it not time to let you know, whether you have got a wife with something or with nothing? Apostrophe your own time for that, my dear, apostrophe says he. I am satisfied, that I have got the wife I love. I have not troubled you much, apostrophe says he, with my inquiry after it. Apostrophe, that's true, apostrophe says I, but I have a great difficulty upon me about it, which I scarce know how to manage. Apostrophe, what's that, dear? Apostrophe says he. Why, apostrophe says I, 'tis a little hard upon me, and 'tis harder upon you. I am told, that Captain apostrophe, meaning my friend's husband, has told you I had a great deal more money than I ever pretended to have, and I am sure I never employed him to do so. Apostrophe, well, apostrophe says he, Captain may have told me so, but what then? If you have not so much, that may lie at his door, but you never told me what you had, so I have no reason to blame you, if you have nothing at all. Apostrophe, that's it so just. Apostrophe, said I, and so generous, that it makes my having but a little a double affliction to me. Apostrophe, the less you have, my dear, apostrophe, says he, the worse for us both. But I hope your affliction you speak of is not caused for fear I should be unkind to you, for want of a portion. No, no, if you have nothing, tell me plainly, and at once. I may perhaps tell the captain he has cheated me, but I can never say you have cheated me, for did you not give it under your hand, that you were poor? And so I ought to expect you to be. Apostrophe, well, apostrophe, said I, my dear, I am glad I have not been concerned in deceiving you before marriage. If I deceive you since, 'tis never the worse, that I am poor is too true, but not so poor as to have nothing neither. So I pulled out some bank bills, and gave him about number 160. There's something, my dear, apostrophe, said I, and not quite all neither. Apostrophe, I had brought him so near to expecting nothing, by what I had said before, that the money, though the sum was small in itself, was doubly welcome to him. He owned it was more than he looked for, and that he did not question by my discourse to him, but that my fine clothes, gold watch, and a diamond ring or two, had been all my fortune. I let him please himself with that number 160 2 or 3 days, and then, having been abroad that day, and as if I had been to fetch it, I brought him number 100 more home in gold, and told him there was a little more portion for him. And, in short, in about a week more I brought him number 180 more, and about number 60 in linen, which I made him believe I had been obliged to take with the number 100 which I gave him in gold, as a composition for a debt of number 600 being little more than 5 shillings in the pound, and overvalued too. And now, my dear, apostrophe, says I to him, I am very sorry to tell you, that there is all, and that I have given you my whole fortune. Apostrophe, I added, that if the person who had my number 600 had not abused me, I had been worth number 1000 to him, but that as it was, I had been faithful to him, and reserved nothing to myself, but if it had been more he should have had it. He was so obliged by the manner, and so pleased with the sum, for he had been in a terrible fright lest it had been nothing at all, that he accepted it very thankfully. And thus I got over the fraud of passing for a fortune without money, and cheating a man into marrying me on pretense of a fortune, which, by the way, I take to be one of the most dangerous steps a woman can take, and in which she runs the most hazard of being ill-used afterwards. My husband, to give him his due, was a man of infinite good nature, but he was no fool, and finding his income not suited to the manner of living which he had intended, if I had brought him what he expected, and being under a disappointment in his return of his plantations in Virginia, he discovered many times his inclination of going over to Virginia, to live upon his own, and often would be magnifying the way of living there, how cheap, how plentiful, how pleasant, and the like. I began presently to understand this meaning, and I took him up very plainly one morning, and told him that I did so, that I found his estate turned to no account at this distance, compared to what it would do if he lived upon the spot, and that I found he had a mind to go and live there. And I added, that I was sensible he had been disappointed in a wife, and that finding his expectations not answered that way, I could do no less, to make him amends, than tell him, that I was very willing to go over to Virginia with him and live there. He said 1,000 kind things to me upon the subject of my making such a proposal to him. He told me, that however he was disappointed in his expectations of a fortune, he was not disappointed in a wife, and that I was all to him that a wife could be, and he was more than satisfied on the whole, when the particulars were put together, but that this offer was so kind, that it was more than he could express. To bring the story short, we agreed to go. He told me, that he had a very good house there, that it was well furnished, that his mother was alive, and lived in it, and one sister, which was all the relations he had, that as soon as he came there, his mother would remove to another house, which was her own for life, and his after her decease, so that I should have all the house to myself. And I found all this to be exactly as he had said. To make this part of the story short, we put on board the ship which we went in, a large quantity of good furniture for our house, with stores of linen and other necessaries, and a good cargo for sail, and away we went. To give an account of the manner of our voyage, which was long and full of dangers, is out of my way. I kept no journal, neither did my husband. All that I can say is, that after a terrible passage, frighted twice with dreadful storms, and once with what was still more terrible, I mean a pirate who came on board, and took away almost all our provisions, and which would have been beyond all to me, they had once taken my husband, to go along with them, but by entreaties, were prevailed with to leave him. I say, after all these terrible things, we arrived in York River in Virginia, and coming to our plantation, we were received with all the demonstrations of tenderness and affection, by my husband's mother, that were possible to be expressed. We lived here all together, my mother-in-law, at my entreaty, continuing in the house, for she was too kind a mother to be parted with. My husband likewise continued the same as at first, and I thought myself the happiest creature alive, when an odd and surprising event put an end to all that felicity in a moment, and rendered my condition the most uncomfortable, if not the most miserable, in the world. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.